One? Oh, we made it. 7 days, boy. I can't imagine. I couldn't wait. They told me and Brother Rob was sharing, boy. Couldn't wait for Shabbat to get here. And boy, we made it. It's amazing how fast 7 days go by, you know. And the scripture says he blessed the 7 day and set it apart. You know, when we go back to creation, it's the only day of the week that has a name. Go figure that out. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're going to continue in Vayera. And it's Hebrew, and he appeared. How many of you know, did he appear? Big time. And of course, our reading is in Genesis 18, 1 through 22, 24. And the Haftor is 2 Kings 4, 1 through 37. And we covered a lot of that on Wednesday night at Bible study. So that was great. Now, one slide I want to recap on, because we're going to be getting into this. And for those of you who might have missed it, this is what we have all been shown all our lives. When you were out there, I read it last week. In Ephesians 2, when we were dead and trespassing our sins, we had no way out. We were stuck in Mitzrayim in Egypt. We couldn't get out. We needed a Savior. And we're so thankful that Yehovah sent Moshe at that time to deliver the children out of Egypt. But here we are today. Because since then, the world has grown. And we were dead in trespass and sin. And we needed a Savior. It's called Yeshua. We needed him. Boy, and I tell you what. Because without him, we wasn't shown none of this. Without him, you didn't have favor. Without him, you didn't have Hanan or Hased, loving commitment. You didn't have these things. Why? Because we were lost. We were in our sins. We were lost. We couldn't get out. You and I, we're all sinners. The Hebrew word, that's slide 76, and this is where we're going to start building on the foundation that's already been laid since the foundation of the world. And we're going to build on his foundation. The Hebrew word that's translated as favor comes from the root word hain. Hain is Strong's H2580, which means grace, adornment, favor, gracious, and comes from the primitive root verb hanan. This is where it comes from, this word. And it's Strong's H2603, meaning show favor, be gracious to, dealt graciously with. Boy, he dealt graciously with us. He's patient toward us. Given to them voluntary, shown favor. There was nothing you and I could have done to get this. This was shown to us by our Savior, by our King, our soon coming King. If you don't believe that, well, then you're in the wrong building. But let's get to the text. Because we're going to see where favor, it never started right here. This goes back, and we're going to get to it. I don't want to jump too quick. Because look, when you get up here, it gets exciting. And Yehovah appeared in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, in Bereshit. And Yehovah appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre while he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now we know Abram had just been circumcised. At 99 years old, he got circumcised. Man, what? That's some pain. And he's sitting there in the heat of the door. He's probably meditating on the promise he was just giving the previous chapter that we read about. So he lifted his eyes and looked and saw three men standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, Yehovah, if I have now found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant. Now, this is what I wanted to cover last week, but I got a little too excited and too emotional. We see there's a little issue here, which not with the scripture, but it's where we take the scripture, and like I said last week about the exegete and eisegete in the scripture. You know, we have to let it sit and stay there and let it say what it says, but we know that's the issue here because When he looks up and sees three men, and he says, Jehovah. Well, there's scripture in the Bible that Jehovah is not a man. So what do we do with this? We have to look at that. So let's look at John. And before I just tell you my words, let's look and see what the scripture says. But hold your place right here. Let's look at John 1:18. I read this last week. So this is kind of just a small little recap. Not 18, John 1 and 18. No one has ever seen Elohim. Now, I just read to you that he saw Elohim. No one has ever seen Elohim. The only brought forth Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he declared it. This is what Yeshua said. He declared, no one has ever seen Elohim. John's writing, recording Yeshua's words. Now, what do we do with that? In John 4:24, let's just go a few more. A couple more chapters over. Elohim is spirit. Why thought he was a man? Because that's what the text said. We just read it. And those who worship him need to worship him in spirit and truth. So people, like I said, people read stuff, and you can play word games. Because I had somebody tell me today, he believed that Jesus is God. Well, I beg the difference on that, because we got to look at some stuff what the scripture says. So we have to really pay attention when we read. When we were taught, read slow. Let the text say what it's going. Read what it's going to say. Let's go to Luke. Yeah, I'm just building the case for y'all right now, so we can go back and we're going to come back and clear that up. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. This is Yeshua speaking. See my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Now Abraham seeing three men. So what do we do with this verse of scripture? May I tell you what? This is really good. Don't we know that Jehovah, that we were taught, that he operates through agents. But we recognize that the one that's speaking with Abraham clearly is Jehovah. There's no doubt about it. I believe that. Now, are we going to say he's a man? Well, the scripture says no. The scripture says in, that moves too fast. In Numbers 23, verse 19, says, El is not a man. Wow, okay. So people, like I said, you can play word games with scripture. But scripture is going to define who Yehovah is. So we know that he operates through agencies, through messengers, through whatever he wants to. Because he is Yehovah, he can do whatever he pleases. But I can tell you what he is and what he ain't. So I'm going to let the scripture just stay there where it's at, and said the three men stood before him. One of them was Elohim, but we know that it's through an agency. El is not a man to lie, nor a son of man to repent. Has he said, and would he not do it? Or spoken, and would not confirm it? Because he can do whatever he wants to. So I just wanted to kind of cover that to get your mind, when you read it, think about these other verses of scriptures, because translation will do that to you. It'll cause you to build a doctrine that's not simply just not the truth. Because we have to deal with this. So this is something that kind of bothered me all last week, because I kind of just failed to touch on that. So I don't want you to think, well, he's crazy. Oh, they're teaching crazy stuff here. I'm just telling you what the word says. He's not a man. But yet, whatever that encounter was with Avram, obviously he was in human form. He was in Manly Farm. Did he see his face? Well, we're going to get to that. Because Moshe, he recalled that Moshe, he said, no one sees my face and live. This is Jehovah's own words. But I don't want to get to that because there's something else we want to read. There's something that's been kind of heavy on me, because we're getting into a time of the year where we see things happening, where we're living. Things are going on. Things are fighting over there in Israel, and wars and rumors of wars. And we see all these things happening. But you got to remember what the scripture said. Yeshua said, know that the end, that's not the end. This is just the beginning. So we're going to go through some stuff. But I want to look at Ecclesiastes. Let me just help lay on the foundation a little bit. Then we're going to move on. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And you can look at this in a natural sense. And you can look at this in a spiritual sense. What it's going to say to you. You have to let the word minister to you through set apart spirit. For every matter, there is an appointed time. How many of you know tonight is an appointed time? Don't you know around over to the east in Israel? Don't you know Shabbat starts tonight? This is when the time starts from evening to morning was the first day. Not from tomorrow morning. This is where we get our time mixed up. Your time starts in the evening. And that's when the day starts. And that's what Yehovah said from the beginning. And it's on the seventh day where he says, remember it, to keep it set apart. And this is why we're here tonight. For every matter, there is an appointed time, even a time for every pursuit under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die. Man, you remember when the time you were born, reborn? Because you died, you had to die to self? A time to plant and a time to uproot. Don't we know there's a time for that? You can get an OMAC and it tells you when to plant. For sure, you're not going to plant tomatoes. What we in January, to be in January, we just had that cold weather. That ain't the time. So the scripture tells us, if we just pay attention to the scripture, a time to kill and a time to heal. Remember last week? I said, when we're reading Yeshua chapter 8, he said, this Abraham didn't do, but you seek to kill me. He said, but Abraham didn't do this. But this is what you do. But yet you follow. You say that Yehovah is your father. Well, he said, boy, he really let him have it last week. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Did you know that there's times for that? A time to weep and a time to laugh. And we're going to get into that laugh part because we're going to see some laughter. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather them. I thought that was very interesting. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. I mean, you know, right now, this is the seeking time. I mean, we can't afford to lose. When I look around and I see a bunch of empty seats. There's no time to lose. We should be seeking. Why? Because it's appointed time. Tonight, this evening starts an appointed time. And he set that in motion. He never told us, go make a Shabbat. It was already made for man. This is what Yeshua said. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Oh boy, if we can just learn that one. This is what the scripture teaches. Well, we have to let it teach us. And what was a good example? Abraham. That's why we're learning what Abraham done. Because why? Because he said, do the works of Abraham. That's what Yeshua said last week when I read it. He said, if you Abraham's children, you'd be doing the work of Abraham. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for battle and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? What can you do? You work all your life and then what? What do you have to show for it? Maybe a nice house, nice cars, enough for what? You don't take it with you when you go. I've been telling the guy, Shane, for two or three days now. I told him today, even my father-in-law, he said, man, he not working. Man, I'm working every day. Man, I love coming to work. I said, it don't matter. You can go to work all you want. He said, you're not working? No, I ain't working. I said, I don't go to work till Tuesday next week. I said, I enjoy my time off. If I got work, I'm going to go to work. But if not, hey, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to enjoy the time at home with my wife. Amen. Exactly. I said, but let me tell you what. At the end of the day, I don't care if you're rich or poor. You and I go to the same place. And we'll see that in the scripture. It doesn't matter how much you work, how rich you are, how poor you are, or middle class. You go to the same place I go. When your time expires, that's exactly what I told. When your time expires, you're going to be in the same place I am, in the grave. What does the worker gain from his toils? I have seen the task Elohim has given to the sons of men to be humbled by it. We need to learn that because we see Abraham prostrate himself. He has made it all beautiful in his time. Can you imagine from the beginning? If I could just take your mind back to the beginning when he created the garden. Beautiful in his time when it was first opened up before man laid his eyes on. Can we just read about it. We can't imagine what it looked like. But it was beautiful. I guarantee it was beautiful. Even the ages he has put in their hearts. Except that no one finds out the work that Elohim does from the beginning to the end. That's why we have to seek. The only way you'll find it is if you seek it. Yeah, and the only way to find it, you have to look into his word. We have to go to Shabbat, and like Yeshua said, where Moshe is being preached every Shabbat. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is a gift of Elohim. He wants you to enjoy yourself in life. But he don't want you life above him. One thing. I know that whatever Elohim does is forever. There is no adding to it, and there is no taking from it. Now we've been learned that. You don't add to his word, you don't take away from his word. It says what it says, and that's what it is. It doesn't compromise for no one. Man, woman, boy, child, he's the same God for all. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, and white. When we used to sing that in Sunday school class. Or brown. there's no taking from Elohim does it that men should fear before him. Whatever is has already been, and what shall be has been before. But Elohim seeks out what has been pursued. Then again, verse 16. Then again I saw under the sun, in the place of right ruling, wrongness was there. Now this struck me today when I thought about that. Wrongness was there. Because where was Avram when he cut the two pieces in half? When Yehovah appeared, darkness was there. Wrongness was there. I dwelt on that scripture today and I thought about that. I said, man, when I read this, boy, how I'm going to need this. And in the place of righteousness, wrongness was there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of wrongness and a lot of righteousness in the world today. There's a lot of it. And we're gonna see, I'm trying to get to it, I promise you. But we're going to see a section in 18 where Abraham, he gets into the discussion with Yehovah and he says, how dare you, well, this is kind of my words, slay the righteous with the wrong. Far be it from you to do such a thing. He's telling Yehovah this. Boy, you talk about some guts. But Abraham, he loved because he loves the people. That's why he's explaining, he's expressing himself. But the way you read it, it just sounds like he's letting Yehovah have it. But boy, I tell you, we're going to get to that. I said in my heart, Elohim judges the righteous and the wrong. For there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the matter of the sons of men, Elohim selects them so as to see that they themselves are beasts. For the event of the sons of men is also the events of beasts. I mean, you know, tonight there's a lot of events of beasts going on. One event befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over beasts. All is faulty. All are going to one place. I wonder where that's at. All came from the dust, and all returned to the dust. One place, rich, poor, I don't care who you are, who says what. The scripture says we all go to one place, back to the dust where you were created from. And what? Well, but we get this. What about this? What about the spirit? Or what about the soul? Well, we got to keep reading. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men which goes upward, and the spirit of the beast which goes down to the earth? So I saw that man could do no better but to rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who would bring him to see what shall be after him? And you got to continue reading, because it goes on to tell you that the spirit goes to the one who gave it, goes back to the one who gave it. If you keep on reading. Look, last week, I couldn't put it down. I went and read the whole 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes, because I just needed to go back and read this, all and just meditate on it, what he said. Such a lot of good words of wisdom that we can learn in the book of Ecclesiastes. All right, now back to the text. That was just some foundation stuff. Verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked and saw three men standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground, showing humbleness before the three messengers, or the three men, I can say whatever translation you're using, and said, Yehovah, if I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant. Don't pass your servant by. I can't imagine Abraham seeing three men, three angels, or whatever they were, whatever beings they were, and one being Yehovah that was represented, and Yehovah speaking through him. What an encounter that must have been. You and I probably would have said the same thing. Please, don't pass me by. Why? Because it was in his nature. It's their custom to show hospitality. And that's what should be one of our customs, to be hospitable. Did I get that right, Ben? There you go. That's what he said. Please, verse 4, let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Now, the scripture said that Yehovah, he don't slumber or sleep, but he's asking to rest themselves. See, like I said, so when we sit down and just let scripture speak to you, you're going to know it's just his nature. When you see visitors come, when you say, look, oh, a knock on the door, come on in, sit down, have a cup of coffee. This is what Abraham is doing. And this, after all, this was a test for Abram. And that's how we know that, because when we get to Lot, or to Lot, however you want to say it, good thing he did what he did. He learned these characteristics from Abraham, because Abraham was his uncle, so he learned this trait from him. Because hadn't he didn't, I believe he would have been swept away just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Because why? They were known for not showing hospitality. They were known for robbing people. They were known for sexually abusing them. They were known for just criminal activity. And this is why Yah went down and judged them. Oh boy, I'm probably getting but robbing those right now. Rest yourself under the tree. This is what they've done in their culture. And this is what, we all our lives, we did this on the bayou, I can tell you that. We went, we visited house to house, and coffee, shortcake, this was a known practice for us, I can tell you. I grew up doing stuff like that. So I see this, I know this. And let me bring a piece of bread and refresh your hearts. And then go on, for this is why you have come to your servant. And they said to him, and they said, do as you have said. Hey, if you're going to tell the Yehovah you're going to do something, go ahead and do it. That's what he says. But look, hold your place right there. Let me show you this favor. And I thought this was beautiful, because we know that Noah found favor. That's the first time we ever seen that in the eyes of Yehovah, was with Noah. But look right here with Moshe. I love this right here. In Exodus 33. And let me start here. I start at verse 11. I know we covered this last year, but this is just so powerful. Watch the favor here that we're going to see. And Moshe said to Yehovah in Exodus 33:11. Let's start with 11 first. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe face to face, as a man speak to his friend. Now he's speaking to him face to face. Now if I stand in front of you face to face, in front of my wife face to face, I can see her and she can see me. This is what translation, because watch when we get a little further down. So we got to put on our Hebrew mindset, not our English mindset, because this is what we read. We have to see what is he saying here. What do you mean face to face? And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not leave the tent. And Moshe said to Yehovah, "See, you are saying to me, bring up this people, but you have not made known to me whom you would send with me, though you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my eyes." Wow, Yehovah has found favor in Moshe's eye. I mean, you want to guess what that favor is? Oh, boy. And he said, verse 14, "My presence does go, and I shall give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence is not going, do not lead us up from here." Now, y'all just told him, "I'm going with you, and you're going to have rest." And Moshe did this. "Look, I'm telling you right now, man, if you don't go with me," well, he didn't say man, "but if you don't go with me, don't take me from this place. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your eyes?" See, people wait to the New Testament to find favor, but don't you know it's been in the Scripture? We just didn't find that. We didn't just stumble across that favor when Yeshua came. I can tell you that. "For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your eyes, I and your people, except you go with us?" What a good question. "Then we shall be distinguished." Are we not distinguished here? "I and your people from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Look, you sitting here on a Friday night, when you could be out doing your own thing on a Shabbat night, you're distinguished from a lot of people upon the face of the earth. And that's what he said. Trust me, if you walk around, he said, you'll be kings and priests, and you'll be royalty. Look, you look different from everybody else. "And Yehovah said to Moshe, even this word you have spoken, I shall do, for you have found favor in my eyes." Well, we're still dealing with favor. "And I know you by name." Aren't you glad that he knows you by name? "And he said, please show me your esteem or your glory." That's how we all started on this journey, from that one verse of Scripture, from Pastor getting that prophecy over him. Started from that one verse of Scripture right here. "Show me your glory, your esteem." "And he said, I shall cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I shall proclaim the name of Yehovah before you, and I shall favor him whom I favor, and shall have compassion on him whom I have compassion." Boy, that's some powerful words, Yehovah. "But he said, you are unable to see my face." Uh-oh. I just read, he spoke with him face to face. "For no man does see me and live." This is Jehovah's word. But we have this encounter with Avram, where he's seeing Yehovah. So you can see that whoever form or figure that Yehovah is operating through is definitely through an agent that looks human form. Because why? How do we know that? They're going to sit down, they wash their feet, and they eat. Now we know Yehovah don't have to eat. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He's a spirit. So you, and I just read that Yeshua said, see my hands and my feet. A spirit don't have flesh and bone like I do. But we have to do something with all these verses of scriptures. But he said, you are unable to see my face, for no man does see me and live. And Yehovah said, see, there is a place with me. How I love that. And you shall stand on the rock. And it shall be while my esteem passes by, that I shall put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand while I pass by. Now, here we got a man that's standing in front of Abraham, and here we got a different Elohim that's putting his hand over Moshe to cover him. Now, y'all can use your own interpretation on what you and what people want to think. But I'm just going to leave what the scripture says. Then my hand while I pass by, and I shall take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So these are some verses that I wanted to show y'all. You know, when we have it, because you may have the encounter where you may have to explain this to people and say, look, Yehovah is right there in front of Abraham. And he just said, no man can see him. So now you have some scripture to go to. Y'all still there? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, like my uncle told me, if y'all don't hear no amen, I go long. Y'all amen, and I might shorten it up a little bit. But I don't hear nothing, that means keep on going. Oh. In verse 6, back to Genesis. So Abraham ran into the tent to Sarah and said, hurry, make ready 3 measures of fine flour, knead it and make cakes, unleavened bread, because we don't have time to let it rise today. Because why? We hurrying. And keep in mind that he's just been circumcised as an old man, so he's running. And Abram ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hurried to prepare it. Now, I covered this, but I just want to bring it back. When verse 2, 6, and 7, we got two different Hebrew words there for the word ran. The H7323 is the word roots. It's actually somebody running, hurrying, doing his thing. But in verse 6, you see the word hasten. That you're going to, if you look into your King James Version, they put the word hasten right there instead of ran. Now, hasten is mahar. It's 4116. Now, in English, we see run in all three verses. But why we got hasten and one time and run two times? Two different Hebrew words. So that kind of puzzled me because I was trying to get old pastor and all. Long story short, he was hastening. He lets you know that he's running. He's not wasting no time. He's got one shot before standing in front of the creator of all the world. You think he's wasting time? You think he's got time to chit-chat? Or look, you go in there, hey wife, hurry up and make these cakes. Go get a calf. Hey, hurry up and cook this up, this calf. He's hastening. He's hastening. And that's H85. That's why you see a different Hebrew word there. But you would know that. You know, unless somebody brings you attention, unless you catch it, like I was sitting there studying and looking at it, I wouldn't know, because I see the word run, well, he's just running. But it's more to it than just running. You know, you see that, it's more than just run for us, it's more than just that. He's not wasting time. And that's about the best I can explain, because that's how it was explained to me. That's why you see two different words there. So, that was a good catch for me. And, yeah. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hurried to prepare it. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and set it up before them, and he stood by them under a tree as they ate. Now, does Yehovah really have to eat? You have to ask yourself that question. Because angels, there are two men with him. I'm just going to say angels. Do you think they really have to eat? But hospitality, Abraham's being tested in all areas of his life. That's why he's such a good illustration. That's why he became the father of many nations, because he obeyed Yah's voice, making him the first Hebrew ever recorded. Before we get the word Ebri from, which we learned that. And this is where it gets interesting. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife? Adam, where are you? Can't find you." You ever wonder? I remember when Pastor, that time we went to Indiana, and he said, "Man, when you miss your church service, the bishop comes knocking to your door." And so that's when I met Harlan and Linda, because that afternoon, that same day, when they heard the story, the next day, whatever it was, he said, "Hey, I didn't see you in church." I said, "Oh boy, the bishop is knocking at my door." But he's 8 hours. "Where's Sarah, your wife?" Well, we know. Y'all know. What a question y'all gonna. Well, I mean, really, like he doesn't know. And he said, "See in the tent." And he said, "I shall certainly return to you according to the time of life. And see, Sarah, your wife, is to have a son." And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now we've seen this right here back a chapter. I know I wrote it down. It's chapter 17. I want to see my notes. I told you my notes walk away from me at times. I think it's 17, verse 17. This was the promise. "And Abraham fell on his face." No. By this time, Nick, this is something else. I'm sorry. This is when he laughed, which we're about to get to. I guess it must have been back in 15 when he first tells him about the promise, about the son. "And Abram said, and Yehovah said to him, well, what? No, let me go back up. And Sarah laughed, and Abram, my bad, verse 10. And he said, I shall certainly return to you according to the time of life, and see Sarah, your wife, is having a son. And Sarah was listening to the tent door, which was behind him." Now we know this. And we know that he told Abraham this promise, "You're going to have a son. Next year, after we're getting circumcised, and next year when I come back, you're going to have a son. He told it to Abraham. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the way of women. Now we see that. Now we could take that, because who else had a child but she was a virgin? But you can see the similarity, how this was a miraculous miracle about the hair in the life of Sarah. So, same thing in Mary. And we know that, because this is the line where Yeshua comes from, right here. "And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old too?" Now, you see, that's... I know we covered this right here already. It's the word laugh. It's H6711, sakak. It's the Hebrew. And it's to laugh in merriment or scorn or to mock. And we see back in 17, this is what I wanted to point out. When I got ahead kind of thinking something else. In 17:17, in Genesis 7, "And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart," just like Sarah, they laughed in their heart. But Abraham asks a question. He says, "Is a child born to a man who is 100 years old? Or is Sarah, who is 90 years old, to bear his son?" You know, he's asking these questions to himself. He's laughing at himself in astonishment, in merriment. That's what I believe. Because you don't really say, you don't see Yehovah, because he's concerned about life. He already has a son. That's why he said the next verse, oh, let Ishmael live, thinking he can help Yah. You can't help Yehovah do anything. He created you. And Yehovah says, no, your own son's going to come from you through Sarah. But you see here, your words, we have to be careful with them, how we say things. Because sometimes we say things, we might think it's funny, but it might be in a mocking way. Because Yehovah catches her right here. And I thought this was another thing. I know I mentioned it before, but it's just, you got to cover it because we're at this point. It says, and Yehovah said to Abraham, well, he didn't say to Sarah, he said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I truly have a son since I am old? You know, and I could probably see her point, but you said it, I believe she said it in a mocking way. And we're going to see later on in the couple more chapters when Ishmael is mocking Isaac. Same words, a cat. And he said, we need to put her away. Same word. And Yehovah said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I truly have a son since I am old? Is any matter too hard for Yehovah? Is there anything you got in your life that's too hard for him that he can't handle? Does he not know that you're in financial debt? Does he not know that you don't have a job or you have a job that don't pay much or where you live? Don't you think he knows about you? Is there any matter too hard that he can't handle any situation in your life if we just trust him and take him at his word like Abraham had to do? How we know it? Leave your people, leave your house, leave your mama, leave your daddy, leave your brother, and go to the place I'm telling you to go. That takes faith to up and leave. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. Now she's laughing in her heart. Notice that. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed in her heart. And Yehovah heard. If we just take our time and read slowly, you'll see these things jump out the page and grab hold of you, make you want to spend a little time there. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Liar, liar. That's basically, that's what he's saying right there. And that would be English term. You know you're lying. I heard you. Yah hears you. So when we make vows to him, even though it's in your heart, he hears you. No, and he said no, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to send them away. Now this, right here, we're coming up. And Yehovah said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham is certainly going to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now Yah is about to tell Abraham what he's about to go down to check out what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not hiding it from Abraham, because why? He's his servant. And he knows that he's listening, he's obeying him, and he's going to become a great man, a father of many nations. You're going to tell your friend. Because Yeshua said, no longer do I call you servant, but call you friends. And by the word, that servant is H5650 Evid. For I have known him, so that he commands his children and his household after him to guard the way of Yehovah. We have to guard his way. How do you guard his way if you don't read what he's about? If you don't know what he's about? If you don't know his likes and his dislikes? When you want to be just, because we hear it all the time. Well, y'all going back to the law. Y'all back under that. Yeshua said, how are you going to believe my word if you don't go believe what Moshe wrote, because he wrote about me? To to guard the way of Yehovah and to do righteousness and right ruling, so that Yehovah brings to Abraham what he has spoken to him. He's spoken all these promises and things that he's going to do for Abraham. And Yehovah said, because the outcry against Sodom and Amorah is great, and because their sin is very heavy, I am going down now to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I know. So Yah's going to check it out for himself. Basically, he's almost saying, I'm hearing rumors about what's going on in Sodom and Amorah, now I'm going to check it out for myself. This is what I told somebody today. I said, look, you want to know what we really teach? Come and see. Like I said last week, come and see. Then you'll know for yourself what's being said. You'll know for sure if we're reading some out of doctrine or teaching something else. You can't just go by what people say. Sometimes you got to just go for yourself. Verse 22. Now this was something that, because you got to look at it in this translation, look at it in your King James. So the men turned away from there and went towards Sidon. But Yehovah stood before Abraham. Now your King James Version says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Now which one is it? Did Abraham stand before Yehovah, or did Yehovah stand before Abraham? See, when you read slow, you catch little things like that. It might not seem like nothing much, but we just read. You don't add to, you don't take away. Now, I believe that Yehovah stood before Abraham. And I had something I was looking at. I think it's in, yeah. Let's look at James. Think about that verse of scripture. Who stood before who right there? Let's look at James, chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to Elohim. Now, who drew near to who? Did Yah come up to Abraham, or did Abraham come to Yehovah? The scripture says, draw near to Elohim. I'm not making it up. But this is what translation will do to you if you're not careful. And he shall do what? Draw near to you. But we have to come to him. We don't wait for him to come to us. Well, who are we to think that we need him to come to us? We're nothing. Because we're going to see Abraham in this conversation, I'm nothing but a dust and speck. I don't even have the right to even ask. But because I love the people, this is why I'm asking, spare their lives. But Abraham has to draw to near Yehovah. Cleanse hands, sinners, and cleanse heart, you double-minded. This is what James says. So when you go back and you read Genesis 18, I'm in chapter 1 right here. No wonder why I can't find my spot. We know who's drawing near to who. But in translation, your King James is going to have it the opposite way. Now, was it purposely done that? I don't know. All I just know is what the scripture says. And I believe I'm going to leave it where it's at. And Abraham drew near to Elohim. Because that's what James says. James says draw near to Elohim. And the witness of a matter by two people is confirmed. Because Jehovah is confirming this, what Moshe wrote. And now James, so there's your two witnesses. Now, unless somebody can find something different, maybe we can talk about it during Midrash. But you have to draw near to him. And the only way you can do that, which we heard last week, is through the door. There's only one way you can get to the Father. He said, there's no other way. The only way you can come to him is but by me. The only access we have is Yeshua, Messiah. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, there's a lot of voices out there. But you have to be listening for his voice. Because why? He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. The sheep don't sit here and wait for the shepherd to come. Only time they wait for the shepherd because they're in the fold together. They wait for the shepherd to appear. Why? To teach them. We need to be taught. He leads them out in pastures. Yeah, by the still waters. He knows what's good for you. So I just thought that was a little eye catch. In case, verse 22, not 23, verse 22. So I just thought I'd point that out tonight. That was something that I was, because like I said, when I'm studying, I'm looking at it, I'm looking at least two translations. Probably should maybe do three, but at least two of them, you got to go look and pay attention to what's written. No, it's just, and Abraham drew near and said, because it tells us the very next verse, would you also destroy the righteous with the wrong? What a great question. Because Abraham loves the people. He's not out to kill nobody. We're not out to kill nobody. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? That's another question. Far be it from you, verse 25, to act in this way. He's reminding Yehovah who he is. Far be it from you to act this way, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Another little thing, before I get to read that one. Suppose, let me go back up 124. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the sake of 50 righteous that were in it? There's a little catch right there, that were in the city. Maybe they were, at one time they were in here, but they're not. And I thought about some of these wording, the way it's worded. Far be it from you to act this way, to slay the righteous with the wrong, so that the righteous should be as the wrong. Far be it from you. Does the judge of all the earth not do right? Wow. That's some pretty bold words. At least I think from Abraham. But look, let me read you something right here. In Ezekiel chapter 21 and the word of Yehovah came to me saying, son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, toward Jerusalem, and drop word against the set apart places and prophesy against the land of Israel. And you shall say to the land of Israel, thus says Yehovah, not Scott, this is not Scott's word. I'm just reading to y'all tonight what the scripture says. See, I am against you, and I shall draw my sword out of his sheath and cut off from you the righteous and the wrong. Are y'all seeing this? I shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Wow. Now let me explain. When catastrophes happen around the world, don't you know there's righteous people in it? And they are unrighteous? Yah is not proclaiming judgment on them. Things that happen sometimes is catastrophic. You're going to have fatalities. The war going on in Israel, don't you think there's righteous people getting slaughtered? Don't you think Yah knows? But it's appointed the man wants to die. The thing about it, the scripture talking about when you die, there's also a resurrection unto life. And the righteous going to be, because we're going to get into the verses of scripture. I probably ain't going to leave y'all hanging. But righteous is going to be slain with the wicked, with the wrong. It happens. But we see Abraham, He's pleading for the people. If there were just 50 righteous that were in it, would you not spare the city? Far be it from you to act this way, to slay the righteous with the wrong, so that the righteous should be as the wrong. Yahweh is not out to slay the righteous, I can promise you. But sometimes you're just caught up, how do we say that? Wrong place, wrong time. Look, there was a young boy, it was a big thing last week in Belchase. Wrong place, wrong time. Innocent boy got shot by a stray bullet. Wasn't he? I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about the boy. All I can tell you, wrong place, wrong time. And this is what they're saying. The righteous with the wrong. Far be it from you. Does the judge of all the earth not do right? He loves the people. Trust me. It happens. And Yehovah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I shall spare all the place for their sakes. He's not going to slay the righteous. He's not. Trust me. Well, we're going to get to the verse of scripture because that's my closing ones. But just keep this part in mind. And Abram answered, look, please, I who am but dust. He recognizes who he is. And ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to Yehovah. I believe he's doing this in a humble way. Because why? What we seen to be? He's humbling himself. I believe it is, this is the one time when he's begging for the life of the people. I believe he's humbling himself. Because he recognizes he's but dust and ashes. Suppose there are five less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find there 45, I do not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there are found 40. Well, he's steady decreasing. We started with 50, now we're down to 40. And he said, I would not do it for the sake of 40. Now we got to look at the word Sodom. Listen, these were two cities, above ground and underground. Because that Amora means submersion. H6076. That's where you can find in the Strong. And Sodom is H5467, means burning. He lived up to his name. And we know today that geographically, scientists will not say 100% this is where it was. Because you know why? Yehovah destroyed it. Now, do they have evidence? They got a good idea about where it stood. They see the sulfur and the ash, the residue that's still there. There's a column of a pillar of salt that's there. That they suspect it could be Sarah. No, I mean, not Sarah, Lot's wife. But they can't say for sure because Jehovah destroyed it. But they find the salt. They find the places there. There's evidence. And he said, verse 30, and he said, let not Yehovah be displeased. And let me speak. Suppose there are found 30. And he said, I would not do it if I find 30 there. Now this kind of sounds like us a little bit. We kind of like dwindling down in our numbers. But I'm so thankful. Hey, look, I would have a core of a solid few that'll stand. And they have a church full that has no backbone at all. And he said, look, please, I have taken upon myself to speak to Yehovah. Suppose there are found 20. And he said, I would not destroy for the sake of 20. And he said, let not Yehovah be displeased. Here we go again. And let me speak only this time. Suppose there are found 10. 10 of us out of a city of thousands of people, above ground and underground. Probably like the city of Atlanta. Have you ever been to Atlanta? They got the whole city underground. The mall's underground. Can you imagine this being wiped off the map completely? He said, I wouldn't have destroyed for the sake of 10. Man. And you see the Hasid. And you see the Hain that Yah wants to pour out. If we can just find just 10, It goes to show what you do matters. Your life matters to hang in there. Why? For your children, for your grandchildren, for the moms and for the dads. If you fail, then what are their chances? They're watching you. Then Jehovah went away as soon as he had ended speaking to Avram, and Avram returned to his place. Oh, we finished chapter 18. I told Brother Ross that we're shooting for chapter 18 tonight. And I thought it moved pretty quick. There's just some other things I had to cover. But let's look at this righteous versus the wicked. Because he said, far be it from you to act that way, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. So what does the word say? Well, we have to go read it for ourselves. In 1 Peter, Kephar Aleph 3:2. Let's start in the New Testament. Let's start at verse 10. Let me just read it in this context. For he who wishes to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Because that's what he just told Avram, I'm your peace. Because the eyes of Jehovah are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Jehovah is against those who do what? Evil. You have your Bibles? Evil. You're not going to be slain together with them. You might die with them. Like I told that guy Shane. Whether you working, or I'm working, or I don't work and you work, it doesn't matter. We all go to the same place, righteous and wrong. It doesn't matter. But the scripture talks about two resurrections. One, he said, blessed are those who take part in the first resurrection. That's what the Bible says. Oh, boy. Let's go to Revelations 21, verse 7. Well, let's go to verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, I am the Aleph, and the Tav. Oh, you almost caught me on there, boy. Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I shall give of the fountain of the water of life without payment. The one who overcomes shall inherit all this. What a day that's going to be. And I shall be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. You're going to be sons and daughters to him. But as for the cowardly and untrustworthy and abominable and murderers and those who whore and drug sorcerers and idolaters and all the false, their part is the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, I'm sorry, but this is, see, Abraham, you're going to slay the righteous with the wrong? They might die together in life, in this life. But it's the second life, it's the second resurrection that we should be more concerned about. That's what the scripture teaches. Now, I'm not making this up. Just go back and jot them down for yourself and go back and reread them. Let's look at Psalms. Now let's go back. Let's go back. Because that's just two out of the Brit Hadashah, out of the New Testament. That's more, trust me. Let's look at Psalms 1. Verses 5 and 6. Well, let me just go back to 4. I put down these numbers. Let's just back up one. The wrong are not so, verse 4, but are like the chaff which blows away. This is the wrong. Therefore, the wrong shall not rise in judgment. Wow. Uh-oh. Whoa. They in a bind. That's what that verse of scripture tells. They in a bind. If you ain't the righteous, you're the wrong. That's the het. We learned this, and it's one of my favorite Hebrew letters. And the het is the fence. You either on the right side or you're on the wrong side. There's no straddling the fence. People think that today. People preach that, but I'm sorry. You either on the right side of the fence or you're on the wrong side of the fence, because the scripture says the wrong are not so. But are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wrong shall not rise in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In the sinner's not going to be in the congregation. No. That's what the scripture says. For Yehovah knows the way of the righteous. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows if you're right or not. You can sit in here and you can fool me. I can fool you. But he knows. Just like he heard Sarah. You laughed. But the way of the wrong comes to naught. You're done for. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. You're done for. There's no living in Sodom and Gomorrah where it used to be. Because it's burnt. It's ash. It's sulfur. It's destroyed. That's what the wicked, that's what happens to the wicked. Not living somewhere else and talking to the righteous. That's, I had to explain that to somebody today. That's the parable that was being used because the people were without learning, out of understanding. If you got no education, I got to meet you on your level. If you're a shrimper, we got to talk about shrimping. We ain't going to be talking about football. If you're a shrimper, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. So this is what Yeshua had to break it down to them. Psalms 37, 17. For the arms of the wrongdoers are broken. But Yehovah sustains the righteous. You hear me? He breaks the arm of the wicked, but the righteous he sustains. I'm telling you. There's a separation. There's a difference on what side of the fence you want today. And the thing about it, you have to remain there. It's not just a one and done thing and I'm good. You have to remain in his word. Abraham, he hadn't crossed over to Euphrates and said, okay, I'm a Hebrew and not do anything no more. Really? You have work to do. Oh boy. That stuff will preach. let's look at Proverbs. Chapter 28, verse 28. When the wrong rise up, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. Y'all seeing this? So we see that Abraham, he's in this conversation with Yehovah. Are you going to slay the righteous with the wrong? He provides a provision for them to escape. Because we're going to see what happened with Lot, because Lot is down there. But Lot's down there just with his family. They don't have 10 of them. All you read is Lot and his wife. You read his two daughters and probably two son-in-laws. So there's only 6 of them, not even 10 righteous. And we know his son-in-laws don't make it out. We know his wife don't make it out. So did y'all have compassion? Does he have chesed, loving commitment? You better believe he does. Let me make sure I didn't miss nothing else. Well, I think that's that was all the ones I wrote about that. But let's go back to Ezekiel one more time. And the word of Yehovah came to me, son of man, son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and drop word against the set apart places. And prophesy against the land of Yisrael. And you shall say to the land of Yisrael, thus says Jehovah, see, I am against you. That's one thing we don't want, is Jehovah against us. And I shall draw my sword out of his sheath and cut off from you the righteous and the wrong. Because I shall cut off from you the righteous and the wrong, therefore my sword shall go out of his sheath against all flesh, from south to north. Look. Yeah, it's definitely flesh. But I tell you, when you operate outside of his boundaries, there's, look, we can't escape what's coming. I can tell you. You can hide. You can build your house underground. You can put bomb shelters. You can do whatever you want. What a day we read about it in Scripture. What a day when he comes, when that soul is going to come out that sheath. He says it's not going to return to accomplish what it does. That's what he's saying here. Righteous, wrong, but the righteous not going to be slain. They may die physically because of all what's happening in the world today because of sin. But there's a reward for the righteous. And this is what our hope is. This is what our expected future is. Look, if I had to worry, if I could, I've never really faced death, which I take that back. I've been in two boating accidents. When I was a kid, I don't even know about it. You know, to remember what death was. I wouldn't even know. But for me to stand here to say that I'm afraid of death, when he teaches, don't be afraid. So it's going to rise up in you. It's going to make you nervous. But hey, it comes to everyone. And I know because why? Because once your time is up, that's it. There's no more. That's what the word says. So he says, whatever you're going to do, if you keep reading Ecclesiastes, whatever you're going to do, do it with all your might. Do it. Because there's no activity, no nothing going on in the grave where you're going. This is what the word says. And look, I've been to many, many funerals, many graveyards. And every one I go to, you know what? They're all the same. There's nothing going on besides the people cutting grass or burying the dead or whatever. That's... And Yeshua showed that. He showed the little girl. He said, look, why are y'all in here mourning? Come here. She's not dead. She's sleeping. They didn't want to kick him out. He lost his mind. And that's a prime example of the resurrection that's going to come to the righteous. And we should take hold. Like I said, we have to just sit down and pay attention to his word and just read slowly. And that's why we're on this journey. We're taking our time, one section at a time, to go over the word. That way, why? Because when situations come up, we're able to teach others. Because that's what he said. Go out and be a light and make disciples. Teach my word. Don't teach fairy tale stuff. Teach what's written for us. So I got my 10-minute card up, and I'm going to stop right there because I didn't go past that. But it's just...